Want to offer a greeting and a welcome to everyone here this morning. Some of you are back from vacation land. Some of you are guests, and we welcome all of you here today to participate in the worship of our King, the adoration of the Lord. I'm grateful this morning that my brother Lael is here. My brother Lael, my youngest brother, lives in Indiana as a pastor there of a congregation, and him and his wife are here. They're on a six-month sabbatical, just returned from a month in Israel, a month in Kenya, Africa, and spend some time in this area and the East Coast. So three months sabbatical. Thank you. So I'm grateful to have him here, as well as all the rest of you. I have appreciated our Sunday school focus the last quarter here, the practical ways where God is reaching out to us and calling us, challenging us to follow Him, to take a look at our lives and see how we're doing. A lot of similarities between the stage of Israel at the time of the prophets and their prosperity and their apathy to Western civilization today. And I thank Ken for those songs, that song, Search Me, O God, because that's something that all of us need to ask God to do continually in our lives, to search us. And that phrase where it says, take all my will, my passion, myself, my pride. This morning, our lesson deals with pride. Something is not foreign to any of us, I'm sure. I've been deliberating the last while about Jabbok. Jabbok, a place of decision, a place of soul searching, a place of change in Jacob's life. And I'd like to make a few comments and a bit of focus on that this morning as it relates kind of in the context of our Sunday school lesson. Going to be looking at a few portions here in Genesis chapter 32. And my question is, what is your Jabbok? Or are you at Jabbok, or have you been there? And I think a Sunday morning focus is a good time to look at that. And the setting here is Jacob, son of Isaac, grandson of Abraham. After 30 years of scheming and swindling his way through life and doing life his own way, after having spent 20 years with his father-in-law Laban, where he had prospered, his family grew and he had prospered in assets, he was now leaving the house of his father-in-law and going back to the land of his fathers. And Jacob had lived his life pretty much to this point on his own. God was kind of a distant tag-along, and he'd refer to him occasionally. Not very much in his 20 years with Laban. We don't see much at all of him referring to God. And so he comes to the place of decision at Jabbok, the brook Jabbok, and it was a crisis point in his life. It's a crisis that was too big for him to handle. It's a time when all his tricks that he had up his sleeve didn't work anymore, and he had to face his fears, he had to face his future, and he didn't have anything to go on, and he was wasted. He felt like a wasted man. And he sends some messengers ahead to meet his brother Esau, who 20 years before had said, when the time is right, I'm going to kill Jacob because he swindled me out of so much. Jacob is now returning, and he has to face his brother, and he's afraid for his life. So he sends a delegation ahead and says, Jacob is coming back, and he's coming to meet you, and God's blessed him, but he wants to be friends. And the messengers come back, and they say, Esau is coming to meet you with 400 men. That's the setting here in Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob goes into a dread of fear, and he doesn't know what to do. Jacob tries to set his affairs in motion here and he divides his household. He puts some over here and some over here, so Esau kills one group, the other will survive, and he's at his wit's end. He prepares a present for his brother Esau. He sends it ahead. 580 head of livestock. That's about as much as New Holland sells in one day. It's just a lot of stuff. 580 head of livestock. He sends them ahead in groups of about a half a mile between each group of livestock, six different groups, I think, and he sends them to Esau and said, "This is a present for you." And he tells the servants, each one of them, to say, "This is from your brother Jacob. He's coming. He's been blessed of God. This is for you. He cares about you. He wants to be a good brother." And he's just fearful. So he sets all these things in motion, and then he crosses in the evening. He crosses the brook Jabbok, and he's all alone with his own thoughts. He's all alone with his own fears. And I like to pick up reading here in verse 24. And I don't just want to look at Jacob. I want to look at ourselves. I've had my Jabbocks, and I suppose I will have some in the future. Some of you have Jabbocks, are at Jabbok now. Some of you are wrestling. If you're not now, you will, or you have been. And all of us need this time alone with God. So verse 24, Genesis 32. Jacob was then left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go, except you bless me." And the man said to him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." I just want to pause there a minute. When Jacob said that word, said that name, it was an honest expression of who he was. Here, as he wrestled with God, as he searched his heart, "Take my will, my passion, myself, my pride," as he wrestled there with his own thoughts, with his own fears, with his future, he realized he had nothing left. He was done. He was broken. And when this man who was wrestling with him said, "What's your name?" he said, "My name is cheater. My name is swindler. My name is surplanter." He was honestly expressing of who he was, what was in his heart, what he had lived by all these years. And he was faced with that he had been doing things his own way. When God meets us, when we're alone with God, we're honest with ourselves, God shows us some things sometimes that are not very pretty, not very nice. And as we deal with that honestly, there can be a breakthrough and there can be a new day. Because here's what happened. He said, "My name is Jacob." And the man said, "Your name will not be called Jacob anymore. It shall be called Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and you have prevailed." What a name change. When Jacob became broken, when he was yielded, when he said, "I'm done, God, I want you to take over. I cannot do it." God said, "Your name is going to be changed. You're no longer going to be seen as a cheater, a swindler, a liar. You're going to be called a prince with God." This is what happened at Jabbok. And Jacob, verse 30, called the place of that, called the name of that place Peniel, for he said, I have seen the face of God, and I have, my life is preserved. But God put his mark on Jacob that day. See, Jacob for the rest of his life would be marked with a limp in his walk to remind him that there was a time when Jacob was done and God took over. And everywhere he went and every day of his life, as he got up, as he limped around, he remembered, you know, I'm touched of God. This is a mark of God in my life. God wants to stamp his image on us. And the way he chooses to do it is not necessarily our choosing all the time, but it's a good thing. When God puts his image on us, when we are marked of him, we have his character, his nature, it's going to be obvious. So my encouragement today is, when you face your valley of decision, your crises, your Jabbok, do you let God do his touch? Do you wrestle until you're blessed of God? I will not let you go until you bless me. So today I pray that each one of us would wrestle well. This week, we'd be challenged through our experience of worship today to wrestle well with God and to lay hold on him until we continue to walk in the blessing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the challenges of your word that remind us of who we are and who you are, what a great God you are, what an intimate, personal God you want to be in our lives, and how you want to guide us, how you want to put your stamp and your mark on us. So, Lord, I pray that each one of us today, as your word is spoken, as it reaches us from different angles, meets us at different ways and different crossings of our life, may we say, yes, Lord. I pray you'd bless everyone who's participating this morning in teaching and leading out and ministering the word, and those who respond and participate. May it just be an exhortation, a fellowship, and renewal in the Lord. Holy Ghost, we invite you here to be preeminent and to have control in every part of this service, in Jesus' name. Amen.